We'll open with a prayer that came from Jesus himself in the high priestly prayer right before he was crucified. Sanctify them by the truth, O Lord. Your precious word is the truth. Amen. Have you noticed out here how green the grass is? I don't mean all over, but just right outside that wall where everything had been torn up and then reseeded just a few weeks ago. Talk about the power of seeds. My, our people, after they had regraded it, finished the flood rearrangement here, leveled out the dirt, and there was some huffing and puffing and striving and sweating, and the next thing you know, the grass is greening up. Wisconsin is an amazing place to grow seeds. Now, friends, that analogy has been our concept for this series, Alive to Thrive. We have been looking at how something so common among us is a parallel to the seed of the gospel that's planted in human hearts. Our topic today is reproducing, but how did we get there? You start with the seeding, which the G could be called gather. The vertical relationship as God goes out and gathers people into his blessed family of faith. It is that gathering that is important for us in putting down the tap root deep. But then we talked about planting, the group, the community of the church, the horizontal relationship where we grow, and we need the church because Sunday school just is going to happen. Starting next week, the little ones gather around Bible stories, and then we have teens and we have adult studies. We kick off the fall Christian education program. How important it is to have that time set aside to grow. But this growing is also the personal or individual relationship with the Word and sacraments. Without the Word watering our souls, we will not grow in a proper way. Just like a plant that withers down when there's no water, no sunshine. This is the nutrition that's needed for the human soul. And individually, every one of us is starving without it. And then the reaping, after a good season of growing, not only do we see the corn so high, but hey, my tomatoes are bright red. And are they juicy? And out of my little garden, I already have enough that I can give it away. I had people in the first service, every year they bring us bags upon bags because the garden is so rich in its produce. And the concept of giving is that we are blessed. Tonight, or today, we go towards reproducing, and the word there is go. As we pick it up from 1 Corinthians 3, God gives the growth. You cannot lay any other foundation than Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 28. Go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching, and I will be with them to the very end of the age. Today we want to talk about that going, and I'll define it for you. In just a moment, I'm going to talk about a family that was recipients of a family who were the recipients of a family who put the gospel seed into a human heart. And it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing. No drum roll, no music, though you should talk to your plants when you plant them. And it just happens so simply, but the power of the seed at work. But before we talk about that, let's define. Go into the world sharing the good news because God is the one that gives the growth. It actually has been written into our Savior Lutheran's mission statement. You know what those three are, don't you? They rhyme. To know, grow, and go into the world with the good news of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. This is the go route that is the reproduction. It's the final step before you start all over again as a person gathers and begins to join the community and grow and produce fruit. It happens in a cycle. Now, when we talk about that, I want you first to go to the cross. I want you first to go with the disciples who started planting the seed after it had come alive out of an empty tomb. Jesus' body was put into the grave so that it could take all sin away, that it could reproduce with a new resurrection, a new life. Now get into the eyes and the hearts of the gospel writers and you will be powerfully affected. The same seed that was planted in their hearts still is working today. Right here, right now, in you and me. What happened was that they understood Jesus was unique, special, that he was God's own son, as he declared, and he came to take the burden of sin away. And as they listened and walked with him, they saw the miracles, they felt the power of God at work in Jesus, and then they watched him die. What a horror must have gripped their souls as the nails went through his arms and legs. As though they themselves were being ripped apart, and they should have been. It was their burden that he was carrying. You see, the effect of Jesus and his perfect life on them had taken root, and as they watched him die, it ripped their hearts wide open for the planting, just like when you kind of tear the ground open and put the seed down in. Because 3 days later, when he burst forth from the tomb, now he looked at them, the same man who he had called from a boat, the impetuous fisherman that was always out in front too far, had denied him. But he would say, "Go and tell Peter, I have risen." The same Matthew who had been all about material things, absorbed into an addiction for money and being a tax collector, had been turned upside down and wrote a gospel that is amazing to express to the Jews. And he had others, like Andrew, the encourager, who said to Peter, "Come along, let's go see if Jesus is the real thing." It's that seed that we hear and watch in our own lives and in the lives of others. Now, a story came from a pastor about how this has been handed down to his family through kind of a happenstance, but not at all, because God was involved. God gives the growth. He said that there was a succession. It was the Raines family that had been long-term Lutherans in church every Sunday, but the family just simply were open and welcoming. They invited the Ewart family to come along with them. And after one Sunday, the Ewarts found such security and connection with the Word, with God, with the group, the church, they kept going back. And after a period of like 5 years, they had gone to Bible study, Sunday school. Their lives had become wrapped around the activity and schedule of the church. And the father then decided he would do the same and invite another. It was at a reunion, he said, that a cousin, John, invited Jerry. Jerry Clark was my dad. He said, "We were in the pool at the poolside, and John sat down next to Jerry, and Jerry, of course, didn't really like the beginning of this subject, so we really love our church." And he's like, "Oh, no, here we go." But later Jerry would say, "You know, at the time we weren't very happy with what was happening. We were kind of worn out. We had been Mormons and had been so affected by the efforts that they had put in, but we weren't comfortable anymore. So we had really quit our faith. And here came John to invite us to his church." All John did was say, "We really love our church. We've grown so much. Our lives are so much better. The seed is growing in us that we would love for you to have it. And now that you're here in the area, why don't you come to church with us?" I'll now take it and pick it up from his own writing, because as a pastor, he gives a little more fluid explanation of what happened. He says, "Now I just want to take a moment in all seriousness. How heavy that day was while I was floating around the pool. Little did I know that heaven was opening up at the pool. Thinking about that day when my cousin risked himself, despite the small amounts of contact between them, especially since he knew my dad was pretty strong in the Mormon church, should I speak or just catch up on life? He was bold enough to share what he found like a treasure in the field. I think about what if, What if my dad's cousin hadn't offered? I shudder to think of what might have happened to my parents on the eternal scale of life, or me as a child led by them. Because of their sin, if they had not been invited, they would have been lost forever. And I begin to realize so would have their three boys. I would never have pursued the ministry. I would never have thought to do something but try to earn God's favor. I would have denied the head of my family, Jesus. I would have said he didn't do anything for me. I have to do it for myself, because that's what the human heart always thinks. I would never have met my wife or you as mutual believers. I would have despised Jesus, but on one summer day, how that invitation changed everything. Somebody had a go route to invite us along. And whether it's a swimming pool or a baptism font, what God desires for us as the go route sinks into us is to taste and see that he is good. When he gives the growth, it is incredible. From one family to another family to another family, and the pastor is now serving his Lord. I want you to see that this is what God does. God produces eternal life in someone else through your witness. It might just be a simple introduction. It doesn't have to be a fancy, all polished presentation. It is about your love and your willingness to share what has now overflowed in your life, the forgiveness, the joy, the peace of Jesus. I want you to hear this in a different way in just a moment from Romans 10. But I want the mathematics to sink in. You know how Jesus would teach in Matthew 13 about the sower and the seed, how the seed would go out, some of it into hard territory, and the birds would pick it up, some among the thistles, and it would get crowded out. But in some ground, it was 30, 60, 100-fold reproduction. Think about what 100 times is a seed reproduction looks like. It starts with year one, one seed. If it produces 100 times, and there are corn cobs that have 100-plus seeds on them, it is 100 plants. In year three, it is 10,000 plants, and in year four, it's 1 million. Now, if you put that in terms of generations in a church, that would be this. By the fifth generation, it would represent 100 million people. And if you think that's impossible, ask yourself what happened in the early generation after Christ's resurrection. Do you know that in less than 150 years across the Roman Empire, that nearly 150 million people became believers, one-third of the known population? That is incredible. Or, if you want spatial recognition, take a single square foot. These squares up here are 2 foot, and I think that Americans can barely fit in two, let alone one. But if we clustered all together in 1 foot, did you know that we have 6 acres here? That's 261,000 square feet. It would take less than 3 years to fill it up if it were on a scale of 1 to 100. As it is, if we even doubled, if we took 350 worshipers and we had one more person per person come, next year our attendance would be 700. And if that reproduced, the next year would be 1,400, and year four, 2,800. You might say, you're crazy, Pastor, it doesn't happen that way, but I'm not. The power of the seed is there to grow in human hearts. You know, there is something that happens along the way, and that is the pleasure of watching what matters most. What matters most is that people get home to heaven. Not just do they produce fruit, but that they begin to reproduce from generation to generation, from family to family, from friend to friend. And God produces what matters most for you as you cross the finish line of life. He says that in Luke 16. I guess the analogy is easier to understand maybe in Max Lucado's writing. He pointed out, he picked up all kinds of illustrations from pastors. And the old pastors 100 years ago had a little different framework. But I think during the end of the season, it's probably appropriate. Did you know that back then, when a cargo ship got aboard, the sailors, they raced on the Mississippi? Cargo ships then were paddle wheels. And they would move down from Memphis to New Orleans. And according to this story, they decided to race. And one of the paddle boats was pulling away. They must have had more coil and a little bit coal, and a little bit better engine. And the second boat was beginning to run out of coal. They had to measure that. So they decided to burn some other things and see if they could catch up. You know, like pallets. Putting some wood in there. Fired up the fire. Paddle boat goes faster. They caught up. And they began to pull ahead. The sailors got so excited, according to this pastor's story, that they kept throwing things in, including the cargo. Well, when they got to New Orleans, they were ecstatic. They won. They were dancing on the board. And then the captain realized there wasn't anything on his boat. His sailors won the race, but they didn't have any cargo. And there were going to be a lot of angry people on shore when they came and found that everything had been burned up. What is our life for? It's not to spend just for ourselves. Yes, you need food and drink, but the Father knows you need them. It is to reproduce. It is to give away. And how wonderful it is to see the gospel at work in another person's life. I believe that that helps you to crave the other G's again. It cycles back. You begin to want to get that taproot deeper, grow the tree bigger. I've been looking at trees really closely since the ash borer showed up, and some die. But even the trees that I've just watched in the last 10 or 12 years have grown from this big to this big in Wisconsin. Isn't it amazing? And what along the way you begin to realize is that growth is what the seed was designed for. You begin to crave the other G's, the gathering, the group, the growing, and the giving, because that's what you were designed for. And when you follow God's pathway, it will be the most amazing thing. The seed, I use a picture analogy that one of our members shared with me of trees. Pretty tenacious. You would never dream that a tree could do what is done in these slides. Watch closely. Would you imagine in the middle of a lake, a tree begins to grow on the end of a sunken tree? On the top of bricks, look at those roots. Oh, right out in midair. That's amazing. How tenacious. On the left, on a rock. On the right, a palm tree that fell over and grew again. Look at the one on the right. Tree's going right down through the rock. This one up through a sign. That was the only survivor of a tsunami in Japan, now protected. In the middle of sand. On another tree. Out of a building. Out of fire. It is the building. Oh, and of course, a tree's going to say, nothing's going to stop our growth. Wow! The power of God at work, producing a joy. And here's where, when we finish this series, you want to see it full circle. Because the disciples actually had this happen. When they were watching the Roman soldiers, thinking they were coming for them, they hid. But when they watched Jesus, who had risen from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit began to burst forth in Pentecost. What an amazing story of the Christian church. Go back and see how the roots were formed. In Mark 6, Jesus is at Nazareth. He goes back home. Who doesn't like his hometown? I know all the friends, the cousins. And you know, I grew up with these kids. Let's go to my hometown. But how did the hometown receive him? Well, they thought he was a hero. All these crowds following him. Let's go to the synagogue and see Jesus, you know. Put up the banners and have the Jesus day. Until he opens the scroll, sits down and says, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing. And they're like, who does he think he is? He thinks he's the one? Are you kidding? He's from here. He can't be. But he was. So they tried to push him off a cliff, destroy him. And it wasn't going to happen because he was the one, God and man. But now go on and see what happens next. They wipe their hands of Nazareth. He turns right around and he says, now what you've seen in me, he turns to his disciples and says, I am sending you out. You've got to be in the shoes of the disciples to see this. He's like, what? Jesus, you were at your hometown. You went in and they wanted to kill you. And now you're sending us out to represent. Whoa. And what does he say? Yeah, I do want you to go. And you're going to be like sheep before the wolves. But go anyway. Is it going to be that it is possible sometimes the going of a seed and the planting is not easy? But can you imagine the seed growing? Can you imagine what that family would be like if Jerry Clark had not heard from John? In fact, the pastor said, if it were possible in heaven, I would drive Jerry or John nuts, because I will go to him every day and just thank him 1,000 times for going over and inviting my dad to church, because we get to spend our whole eternity with Jesus. But you know, the suffering means we're identified with Christ. If someone says no, what can it hurt? What can it hurt to go in and just say, why don't you go to church? Why don't you come with me and hear the gospel, the good news, about how our sins have been fixed by Jesus. You know, it can be rough on relationships, but some ground opens up. And some human hearts have the seed of the gospel spring forth. And in amazing ways, it can last for generations. There's one of two things that can happen. One is you are identified with Christ and they push you away. They may even say they hate you, but they don't. They are pushing against God. Or you might find a person or all the people of that group together with you in heaven. You can't lose. My prayer is that this root sinks down so deeply in this congregation and in our families, in our hearts, individually, that we speak about the things that we have seen and heard. That if God would be so kind that our Savior Lutheran might have the people of a family that is attractive, not because it's such a grand church or because they're such good people, but because the seed of the gospel in Christ is what we have received and we are willing to share it. 100-fold? Who knows? God has been our God and has rescued us, and He may just choose to give the growth. Amen.